Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. It is Football Sunday here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We're brought to you by Cars for Kids, who remind you time is running out to donate your car for 2025. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS now and secure your 2025 tax deduction and vacation voucher. That's Cars with a K and the number 4. How you doing this morning, everybody? We got a lot to get to here today. No Patriots game today to tell you about, as they are playing tomorrow night against the New York Football Giants, but we have a big slate of games to get to, and a lot of news and a lot of drama over the course of the week here with this Patriots team, including what you just heard the head coach Mike Vrabel talking about right there. Some key injuries on the offensive line. The whole left side of your offensive line going to be out for this game with some other potential guys missing. We'll get into all of that in just a moment, but it feels like it's been a while since we've all been here. I don't know why. It feels like maybe it's just the vacation week or what, but it seems like a while since I've seen all you guys. Ted Johnson, Chris Scheim, and Mego. Let's go ahead and start with you, Mego. What's on your mind today on this holiday weekend Sunday?
So I'm taking a little bit of a long-term / short-term long-term look at what is going to happen with the Patriots. Well, you have these injuries on the left side of the offensive line. Jared Wilson is much more of a wild card about when he's going to come back at left guard. But just looking at the next three games and throwing the bye in there, I want to set an expectation, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm being too soft on this team. But set the expectation that going 1-2 over these next three games is very realistic and not cause to feel like the sky is falling. I think that when you look at this Giants team, like, the Patriots tend to get up for these primetime games. They have had great performances when they're on the national broadcast, when they're in primetime. They show some extra juice. But I do think that this could be a sneaky upset by the Giants, and we can get into that later in the show. And then, honestly, it's going to be very tough to beat the Bills twice. And I know Lamar Jackson and the Ravens looked in utter disarray on Thanksgiving, but that's not an easy trip for you either. And so I think it's very possible that they go 1-2 over these next three games. And my reaction personally is not going to be, oh my God, fool's gold, they're getting exposed. I think this is going to be a bit of a rough patch for them compared to the other parts of the season.
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be a rough patch. I expect them to win 2 out of 3 here. Like, if they go 1-2, depending on how they lose, I might not freak out, but they should go 2-1 over this stretch. The Ravens look awful. I mean, even since Lamar's come back, not just against the Bengals, but even in those two games prior, they didn't look good. He's not running. I mean, he barely runs for 30 yards in a game anymore. And even when he's throwing the football, he doesn't look great.
That Jets game was eye-opening, I thought. Yeah. He was not good in that one.
He was not at all. And so, like, I'm not scared of the Ravens. I'm not scared of the Giants. Like, you should beat the Giants. They are one of the worst teams in football that you should, with a rookie quarterback who is prone to mistakes.
We
did
this with the Bengals, the Jets. Like, you are in these one score games in the fourth quarter.
You're walking away with the win, but you get the win.
At some point, like, I do think some of your mistakes are going to catch up to you, and we shouldn't sit here every week and say, well, you should win. You should. Like, the Giants with Jackson Dart can put up points. They've been in 5 one-score games. They've lost them all because they're dummies who love to find a way to lose.
Blow 30-point leads against the Broncos.
Dummies. Yeah, so it's like you're kind of polar opposites in that way where you find a way to win, and that's the important thing. But I just think when you look at this trend over the last 2 weeks, the last two games, I should say, like, you're playing bad teams and you're letting them hang around.
So is 0-3? Can we get concerned at 0-3 or just we can't at 1-2? Where's the line of demarcation?
I think 0-3 is a more of a concern.
Oh,
but
1-2
does feel like,
because even if you go 0-3, you win the next two and you're still 12-5, you know, like it's still your record's still pretty good.
Right. I know there was our friend Tommy Curran was on air and said he wouldn't be surprised if the team went 0-3, and he put a bunch of qualifiers on that because
I didn't hear any of those. I heard him just say they're going 0-3.
He said he doesn't expect that, but it's possible. I would say 1-2 just feels kind of realistic to me. This team is super banged up, and I think that it is going to be a rougher patch than people expect.
Can I ask you guys, what's your expectations of this team so far from what you've seen as far as their playoff seeding? Do you expect them to secure a number one seed? Do you, just win the division, get in, doesn't matter? Or do you see this team as really should be getting that number one seed?
I think they should be a 1 or 2 seed. I don't think there's any question in that at this point. I think the AFC South is entirely up for grabs. I think you're going to see a lot of craziness that happened in the last few weeks in that division. So I don't think that that team, whoever wins that division, is in contention for the number one seed. It should be you or the Denver Broncos at this point for the number one seed. If you happen to lose to the Broncos because they're just continuing to win these ugly one-score games, then that's fine. And you'd come in second, but you should be a top two seed in the AFC.
I'd agree. Like, if you fall behind the Colts, I know that they've been the Cinderella story all this year, but the Colts or
Cinderella
the Steelers, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's my reaction.
You have a one-game lead in the conference right now for the number one seed, right, with the Denver Broncos, but that's because you haven't had your bye. So theoretically, probably even. I mean, in the division, you have a 3-game lead, so you're good there. So we're in the playoffs. Yeah. I want that number one seed.
I think one seed is realistic. Unless you don't think they're better than the Broncos. If you think the Broncos are better than them, then fine. I think they're better than the Broncos, and that's really their main competition. The Colts, Jones is banged up. Like, we'll see about them.
I think we're better than the Broncos here at home.
I think they're better than the Broncos, period. They have a better quarterback. And Patriots have the better quarterback.
I just worry about Denver at Denver with that defense.
And so that would kind of lead into my big thing is, like, I think this defense for the Patriots is kind of on fraud watch. Mego pointed out
this.
How the last couple weeks, like, you've won a lot of one-score games. Like, this defense has allowed teams to hang around. I think Jackson Dart is a good test because the two times you've faced mobile quarterbacks, they've been pretty good, like, okay against you. Like, the Jets hung around a lot longer than you thought they should have. Yeah. It never felt like that game was ever out of grasp or anything like that, like, ever in danger of losing, but they still hung around. And then the time you played Josh Allen, like, he was the first person to run for more than 50 yards against his defense. You only won by 3. So now you get Jackson Dart, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson in 3 straight weeks, all running quarterbacks. And then on top of that, you're going to get the Jets with Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback who is much more serviceable, can actually throw the football compared to Justin Fields, and a Miami team in Week 18 that hasn't looked bad the last 3-4 weeks. Like, looks like the competent Miami team that we're relatively familiar with. So I think over this final stretch here, you're going to get to see what this defense is really made of. The DVOA makes it out to be kind of fraudulent, but I mean, if you go down and you beat Lamar Jackson and you beat Josh Allen, no matter what the numbers say, you can't deny that the defense is good.
People will deny it, though. I mean, the Bills have flaws. The Ravens have flaws.
Sure.
Even if they win those games, people are still going to find. But I think it's I didn't want to go fraud watch. I like that, though. But I've kind of been putting this defense on blast all season long mostly because of the red zone defense, which is horrible. The goal-to-goal defense, which is horrible. You get a first and goal on the Patriots defense, you will score every time. It's 100%. And then just some of the lapses in the secondary. Let's just go back real quick to this last game against the Bengals. Of course, another opening drive, another
touchdown.
You know, was it a touchdown or
no.
a field goal?
Field goal, sorry.
So points scored. On the opening drive. That's a tradition unlike any other. You know, I hated how they ended the first half. They gave up a 21-yard rush run there and then a 16-yard easy completion to T. Higgins to get them in field goal range to get 3 points before the half. And then the second half, Gonzo, just are you kidding me? The fourth stringer comes out there and beats him on a fade route.
Yeah, that was tough.
His body language would suggest to me that he's like, oh, I got to cover this guy. Okay, I guess I will. Oh, crap. Oh, he got me, right?
It's a great throw from Flacco.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Flacco can still sling it.
Yeah. And then the run defense has been a little shaky, and you think, okay, you know, when you see the Philadelphia Eagles get run on by the Cowboys they did, you go, are they missing Milton Williams in their defensive front? Because it looks like the Patriots are now. And then, the Clavion Chaseon, anybody that offsides, anybody – have an issue with that offsides that they had. It was fourth and five, and he jumps offsides, auto first down.
Respectfully, keep Kalavon's name out of your mouth.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
That's another one of Mecca's guys.
I love Kalavon.
You can't, you just for one play, think that maybe he could have done better, because that was horrendous. So there's a lot of things about the defense that I agree with Shime that it is a little bit of a fraudy watch right there.
I'm not here to tell you that they're frauds, but they're on watch, right? Like, if they come out and prove to us against
but
the
I'm
Giants.
But I'm warning you.
No. I'm just not
this
a warning.
It's a warning.
You're just like, when you have a bad student at school and they're like, I'm not going to give you detention, but you're on thin ice here. You're on thin ice, buddy. Your dad would always tell you that. That's kind of how I feel with this defense. Yeah. They're on thin ice. If they screw up against the Giants and the Bills, it's like, okay, you might be frauds.
You're trending towards Saturday school.
Yep. Bingo.
What do you guys think was the best defensive game the Patriots played this year?
The Panthers game.
Panthers game?
Yeah, they absolutely dominated that game.
They were very good in that game. For me, it was the Buffalo game. Because at that time, you remember, their first Buffalo's first month, they were averaging like 37 points a game.
Yep.
And the Patriots defense held them to 20 or whatever it was. So
in their building.
Yeah. And that I thought was okay, they've made a statement here. This is, you're playing who you're playing, and it was early on in the year and they had a couple losses, but I thought, okay, if this offense doesn't come together right away, if this defense can hold the likes of Josh Allen and that offense to 20 points on the road, we all thought different things about that game. Like, wow, Drake May, look what he did in primetime and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was the defense really sort maybe hitting their peak this year. They had a lot of good games after that, but not against that kind of competition. And even against Baker Mayfield, that offense was significantly hindered, I thought, in that game.
Right.
And, to hold them to 23 points wasn't quite as impressive anyway as what they did to Buffalo at that point in the season. Because Buffalo was so good.
I need to go back and watch the first half of that Buffalo game, because I think they were benefited by two fumbles there in the first quarter. Mm. So I don't know, but I don't remember if those were just Buffalo F-ups or if were great plays by the defense. And so I need to go back and check that. But that's kind of where I would raise the red flag. If they don't fumble on those drives, they probably go down and score twice, and it's a whole totally different ballgame.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. But I would say that since then, there's been things you can critique about basically all the elements of this team, from the defense to the offense and sort of everywhere in between, even in some of these big wins, which I think is sort of twofold. Number one, I think it shows that there's still a work in progress. But number two, it shows that they have another level they can still get to, which I still don't think we've seen this year. I still don't think we've seen this team at its best.
No.
They may have peaked. But I feel like even at their peak this year, there's a level above that they could get to.
What's, I think, really impressive about this team is that when one phase of the game or one unit seems to be failing a little bit or falling behind expectations, somebody else does come in situationally and lift them up for a little, buoy them for a little while. But to your point, Arkin, it does feel like we've never had a full game where everything is complementing one another. Like, it feels like it's a strong defensive game. It feels like a strong quarterback performance. It feels like a strong run game. You haven't had all things firing at the same time. You had it in a half. You had it in the second half against Cleveland.
Yep, agreed.
But you haven't had a full game.
Yeah, and I think that's the silver lining in all this is we can pick a bunch of holes in this Patriots team, but at the same time, they have never played as an entire team a full 60-minute great game yet. The quarterback and the defense, all and the offense, everybody playing well at the same time. We haven't seen that yet. So maybe once we see that, we'll be like, oh, this team's ceiling is even higher than we thought. But we need to know that they can get there first. We need to see it to know that they can do it.
All right, I'm going to throw my grenade into the ring here before we go to break, and that is that I'm a little bit concerned about Drake.
How dare you?
Just a little bit concerned about him. And it's really based on that Bengals game, but if you want to go back a little bit, he's thrown 6 interceptions this year. 4 of them have come in the last 5 games, and in 2 of the last 3 games, his passer rating has been under 90, which, again, is not the end of the world, but it's certainly a dramatic drop-off from where he was at his peak this year. And it's happening at a time in the in the season and the schedule. Certainly last Sunday, where I thought this is an opportunity for him to go out there and really flex on a bad defense. And instead, it was not one of his better games. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. I'm a little concerned. I mean, I'm a little concerned. He's still a very young player. You've seen him look a lot more human lately. And I just sort of wonder that maybe this team has gotten so used to him playing at this crazy level that if he's back down here with the mortals for a couple of games, again, not sucking or anything, but just not superhuman Drake May, can the rest of the team do what Mego was just talking about, and sort of compliment and buoy each other? I don't know about that. I feel like May has to be at a certain level for this team to really win.
Yeah, I mean, May definitely has to be at a certain level for this team to go, like, anywhere in the playoffs. That's for sure. And I just, I would push back on, like, I don't get too concerned. Like, I understand that it isn't, like, ridiculous over 100 passer rating in every game, but, again, the guy still leads the league in passer rating. He is, third in yards because he hasn't played yet this week. He has been fantastic. And when
careful
you need
when
him,
you start going down the stat line.
Yeah, there's
a million.
Yourself,
you could just,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
The first quarter didn't trouble you at all?
No, I mean, the first quarter was tough. Like, it was not a great look, but he's had moments like that. The first quarter against the Bills game, was not good.
But you just said it. You just said first quarter. A lot of his struggles come just at the beginning of the game, and then he figures it out.
Yeah, 100%.
If he was struggling at the end of games, or before the two minute before the half, or, you know, key situations, that would make me more concerned. It's like, you know, you go golfing, you know, when you go to the range and you start to warm up.
This is a sore spot.
And like the first few swings, I'm like, chili dipping everything and shanking, and then I find my rhythm, and then it's like, okay, poosh, poosh, poosh. This is kind of how Drake May. I think he just gets off to these bad starts because he's a little too hyped up.
Yeah, he's a little jumpy, and like that's how it was early in the season, and I think too that's another reason why it's so important to continue to try and get this run game going in some form or fashion, because then on those early drives you can chunk away with runs, give him a couple easy passes, put him on bootlegs, get him out of the pocket, nice easy dump offs to the tight end, the running back, get him in a rhythm, and then in the second, third, fourth quarter you're really cooking.
Chunk away is what I did on Thanksgiving.
Did you?
Preach.
Oh yeah.
Well done.
If the Patriots had the Bears running game,
can you imagine?
Like, Caleb Williams has so much help from that running game.
Ben Johnson's doing a great job over
there.
Yeah, he certainly is.
We'll get to all of that. We have a lot of general NFL stuff to get to here, as we had a nice slate of Thanksgiving games and a bunch of games to talk about later on today. We will hear from Tommy Curran. We'll have Wiggy's Keys, all the normal fun stuff that we have here every football Sunday. First, here's Chris Schein. We'll get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots. Well, they don't play today. They welcome in the New York Giants tomorrow night for Monday Night Football. Kickoff for that one is 8:15 over at Gillette. Jackson Dart will be back out of concussion protocol to start against the Patriots. Max Brosmer will be getting his first career start today for the Vikings as J.J. McCarthy is in concussion protocol. They are at the Seattle Seahawks today. Here is your 1 o'clock window. We've already had a bunch of games this week because we had the Thanksgiving games and then the Black Friday game. So we're going to be missing a handful of teams here. But in the 1 o'clock window, we have the 49ers at Browns, Jaguars at Titans, Texans at Colts, Saints at Dolphins, Falcons at Jets, Cardinals at Buccaneers, and Rams at Panthers. In the 4 o'clock window, we have the Vikings at Seahawks, Bills at Steelers, and Raiders at Chargers. On Sunday Night Football, we have the Denver Broncos taking on the Washington Commanders tonight. You can catch all the action for that one right here on WEEI. Kickoff is at 8:20. Some non-football news for you. Your Boston Bruins beat the Red Wings in a shootout yesterday. Morgan Geeky stays hot. This guy is unbelievable. He is keeping pace with Nathan MacKinnon. He had 2 goals in the Bees shootout win yesterday. And then the Celtics are in Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers this evening. Tip off for that
Geek Squad.
Geek Squad, baby, man. That guy is lighting the lamp. Celtics are in Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers this evening. Tip off at 6. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
.com. Mike Vrabel. Patriots having some trouble with that Bengals defense. It's Christian Arkin, Ted Johnson, Chris Scheim, and Mego here. Football Sunday. Your phone number 617-779-7937 if you would like to jump in and join the conversation. As we've told you, as you probably already know, there is not a Patriots game to tell you about today. They are playing tomorrow night. We have a lot of thoughts on this upcoming matchup here with the Giants. Some leftover thoughts from this game with the Bengals, including some injuries on the offensive line that could be an issue here with this front with New York, which is one of the rare strengths on that team. They're not a very good team, as many have said, but they do have some pass rushers. They do have some guys up front that can move you around a little bit, and with Vedarian Lowe and Ben Brown potentially as your starters right there, I think a lot of us got the idea that this offensive line, and this offensive line's been good, but I wouldn't say they've been great. You know, Drake May gets sacked all the time. The run game kind of sucks. Like, I don't think this offensive line is awesome or anything, but they're so much better than last year.
Miles better.
Yeah, than last year. That's, yeah, yeah. I think, what we, you know, we raised the bar up to that. Like, they're not great, but they're much better than what you had. Now you have, you know, 40% of it is what you had last year, and I think that's just sort of a scary thought.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a scary thought. I think one of the bright spots, though, is one of the guys that isn't injured is Garrett Bradbury, and right. He's kind of the one who is going to anchor everybody at the center. He's going to help Drake May with the protections, and he's going to hopefully get those guys to the left in line and ready to go, and yeah, Verdarian Lowe is probably going to give up a sack to Brian Burns or Abdul Carter or one of the two. Like, that's going to happen. It is going to be imperative on the that offensive coordinator guy. What's his name? I forget his name. Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah,
yes,
might be imperative for him to assist with those left tackles, left guard, get some chips in, help out, find ways to get the ball out quick. And against this Giants run defense, that led up, what was it, 230 all-purpose yards to Jahmyr Gibbs a week or so ago. So we might want to get those running backs going as well.
Vedarian Lowe, just so people, you know, a lot of people forget this. Last year, he played, I think he played in almost every game.
Yeah.
And so through the first
and
eight.
It showed.
Yeah. Had a penalty in just about every game.
Well, hold on. Okay. All right. Well, I don't have the stats on penalties, but just through the first eight games, he allowed zero sacks and two hits through the first eight games. And then he hurt his shoulder, right? He got a, what did he get? He got a labrum tear, right? And then the next, nine games, it wasn't as good. So because he was playing with the injury. So
you think he'll be better because he's healthy?
I think he'll be, he was healthy to start the season last year, and he was more than serviceable. So I'm assuming with him being healthy this year, and then also them keeping him, because so many guys on the old regime have been kicked to the curb. Mm-hmm. So they obviously see something in him that it makes it feel like he's worthy of keeping around. So I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think at left tackle with Will out, with Vedarian Lowe in. And Ben Brown, even though I thought he was a little shaky in this last game, filling in for Jaden Wilson, he's you talk about serviceable. I mean, I think he's a pro. He's not great. He's not terrible. He's just kind of in the middle. He's an average, but I don't think that left side is as bad as people are making it out to be.
Yeah, as abominable as the line was last year, I think that Ben Brown was a relative like bright spot, because like I thought at times he was really, really good last year. At other times he wasn't. But there were multiple times where I was like, wow, he's having a really, really good game. And so I'm not worried about him as much. It's really just Vedarian Lowe. Just because these edge players for the Giants are so good, like this is the first game you get with Vedarian Lowe, it's kind of a tough situation. I think The thing that benefits him is the quarterback's really talented, and I think he can escape some of the pressures.
Yep.
So if you can continue to force those pass rushers up the field and allow Drake May to step up into the pocket, which he's shown this season he can do and is willing to do, I think things will be okay.
Drake is going to have to get the ball out faster. He ranks 36 out of 41, courtesy of Phil Perry. Thank you, Phil. Been working his ass off this week. But he 36 out of 41 in passes of 2.5 seconds or less, right? The quick passing game. He does not get the ball out fast.
It's not what he wants to do. He wants to let those receivers work their way down the field.
But today's different. He's got to get the ball out fast, so they have to scheme it up. I think similarly to what they did in the Miami game, if you remember that game plan where the ball was coming out fast to the running backs, slants. If you saw what the Cowboys did with the RPO, boom, slant.
Oh my God.
So quick game is going to be very important. Screens and draws to slow down that pass rush. That's going to be what you're looking for today.
Yeah. Real quick, Vidarian Law, I'm just looking at the PFF grades from last year. I didn't know that he didn't give up any sacks in the first couple of games, and maybe the injury had something to do with this. But Vidarian Law last year was graded out with a 54. That was his PFF grade, which was number 69.
Nice.
Out of all of the tackles in the league. So that means you go through every tackle, left and right, through the entire league, and then there's still some room after that, and then there's Vidarian Lowe. Ben Brown at center was the 39th ranked center with a 52.8 grade. So, again, that's every center in the league, then a few backups, and then you get to Ben Brown.
Yeah, not
so,
good. Not good. But Ben's not playing center. He's playing guard.
True.
And Vidarian's healthy now, so and where he wasn't in those grades.
I think this is going to be a bigger test for Josh McDaniels than anybody else.
Agreed.
This little stretch, because, as you said, Shime, Drake clearly likes to see the plays downfield develop, and especially getting Kayshon Booty back. But Pop Douglas has developed into a vertical threat. Who would have thought that 2 years ago?
Nobody.
Thought he was just a little limited slot kind of guy. And so Drake definitely seems to prefer that. He wants the home run over a single or even sometimes a double. And so it's going to have some adjustments. I don't think you can depend on the run game at all. And even though you're going up against an awful rushing defense with the Giants, we said the same thing about the Bengals. Yep. So it's like your run game, I'm past them getting right against any of these teams. I think it'll be more interesting to see how, as you said, Ted, doing things like getting the ball out faster, the screen game, how they're able to adjust if they don't have the time for those deep plays to develop.
Yeah, it's a question that they're going to have to be able to answer here, certainly on Monday, and may not have as easy a time answering it against some of the teams coming up after that. And all of these games are important because the Patriots right now are the best record in the NFL, and in an AFC here where we saw the Kansas City Chiefs lose again, getting bumped right out of the playoff picture here, and mention the Ravens and that awful game that they had against the Bengals. Ted, I know you believe that the AFC right now is about as wide open as it's ever been.
Well, it is. I don't know if I can remember a time where it is as wide open as it is now. So let's just look at the kind of the teams that have been there, perennially the last several years, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. Right now, the Bills, they've lost two out of their last three games. They've given up a total of 97 points in those three games. And on offense, they have 9 turnovers in the last three games, 3 turnovers in each of the last three games. That's the first time that's happened in 20 years. And they still have the Pats and Eagles on their schedule. So that's the Bills. Josh is going back to doing Josh Allen things like he did in his first couple of years. He just looks like a cat on a hot tin roof back there. He doesn't look comfortable. And so they're in trouble. The Chiefs, get this, guys. They had a record of 15-2. They lost two games last year. In 12 of their wins, they won 12 of their 15 wins were one score games. They're 12-0 in those one score games, including playoffs. That was last year. This year, they're 0-6 in one score games. They're 1-5 on the road. They have lost 4 out of their last 5 games. And I was trying to think, have the Patriots ever in the Tom Brady era lost 4 out of 5 games other than the 2002 season, which we went 9-7? And I don't think they have. I don't think they've ever had a stretch where they lost 4 out of 5 other than the 2002 season in the Tom Brady era. And so the big question is, okay, what's the future for the Ravens? Now let me go to the of the Chiefs. What's the future of the Chiefs is what I meant to say. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson, the last three games, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And yes, he is healthy. People are questioning whether or not he's healthy. The Ravens, their offense was carrying them early. The defense sucked. Now the defense is carrying them. The offense sucks. And last but not least, has anybody seen the Daniel Jones video of him trying to throw?
Broken fibula?
Broken fibula. Yep, he has a broken fibula, and he's going to play through. Katie bar the door. That thing is done with that injury. So the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Colts, to me, are not serious contenders for the Patriots.
With Anthony Richardson on IR, does anybody know who the backup quarterback is for the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, the kid from UNH, right?
No.
Brosmer?
No, that's Vikings. Max Brosmer is...
Oh, Brosmer, yeah.
Is Vikings. The Vikings.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, that's right.
The Indianapolis Colts backup. Does anybody remember Riley Leonard from Notre Dame?
Yes.
He is the backup for the Indianapolis Colts.
He looks like my husband.
He kind of does, yeah.
He really does.
I didn't even know he was in the NFL, Riley Leonard.
He is the backup to Daniel Jones at the moment with Anthony Richardson on IR. So
was he undrafted?
I believe so. Might have been like a 7th-round pick or something, okay. But he is...
good in college.
He would be the guy who comes in and replaces Daniel Jones if that fibula gets any worse.
Interesting. Listen,
he'd be very handsome back there.
Certainly. I think you're right. I mean, listen, it's wide open to an extent because the normal teams aren't there, but it's also kind of a 3-team race right now. Like, right now, it's, Patriots, Colts, Broncos, with the Chargers, Jaguars, and the Bills hanging around. Like, that's kind of it, you know? I understand what you mean of it being like wide open in the sense of it's new teams, but it's not so much, you know. Like
Daniel Jones has a broken leg.
Yeah,
but like,
so take the Colts out. Yeah, so it's a two-horse race.
But also, like, look at all the teams, right? Like Denver, you don't trust their offense; you only trust their defense. Indianapolis, Indiana Jones could be done for the season any time now, and that defense is questionable. The Steelers are absolute frauds; nobody believes in them. The Chargers clearly look terrible without any offensive line because they've lost like five of them. The Jaguars. Absolute question mark. They could be great. They could be a terrible on any given day. The Buffalo Bills, very inconsistent. The Houston Texans only have a good defense, no offense. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs are questionable on both sides of the ball. They only have Patrick Mahomes. The Baltimore Ravens are questionable on both sides of the ball. They only have Lamar Jackson, who's looked like crap for 3 weeks. I don't know, man. The AFC looks like as wide open as it has ever been.
I think the Patriots, like... Wide open would suggest that the Patriots don't have a great shot at, like, they're the team, you know? It's not open because the Patriots are kind of running it right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, I think that you're right. But, like, they're the team that's in charge of it.
I think by saying wide open, it's just like, this is the opportunity for the Patriots to take charge, right? To assert themselves as a legitimate AFC team, to prove to everybody that they can do it, and then go out and do it defensively, offensively. Yeah, shut Cam Newton up in that dumb hat of his and make win a couple games of the playoffs and maybe make a push for a Super Bowl.
Did you guys see the video that he put out on Thanksgiving?
I saw that there was a video. I didn't
watch it. Dumb hat.
Fourth and one. He's
wearing a Patriots jersey, right?
He basically is like talking about how much his fool's gold comment wasn't about Drake May. We have some of the sound of it because we played it on Friday morning show. But then at the second half of it is all about him saying that the Patriots are the team to beat. And I'm like, wait, no. This is what started the whole thing 2 weeks ago
when he said they were fool's gold.
This makes no... It makes... No sense.
It makes
at
a lot
all.
Of sense if you remember that he sucks on that show. He's just not very good on it, and he's always flip flopping and has terrible logic for all his points. Then it makes perfect sense.
He also said that the media twisted this narrative around, and I'm like, you work for ESPN. You are the media.
You're no longer a player.
You are the biggest media. You're super media.
According to Stephen A. Smith, like the number one morning show on television.
Right. The media.
I thought I had love in the week.
Yeah, that's from the video.
Yeah, it's great. Let's just get to this here before we get to break as well. The biggest issue I think that we all observed in that Bengals game was the goal line failures. I mean, that was it was infuriating watching that. And that was the one time, really the only time this year, Shime, you'll like this, that I was sitting there going, Josh McDaniels, what the bleep are you doing?
Thank you.
Why can't you get this ball in the end zone? Why isn't this happening?
Thank you.
And it's not just been a problem this past weekend, but it's been a problem all year, really, in the red zone and close to the end zone. And I just, you know, we've said this about various things all year. Well, eventually, if you keep giving up a touchdown on the first drive, that's going to come back to bite you. Eventually, if you keep doing this, it'll come back to bite you. And it hasn't yet. But this one seems like This one seems like it has to. You know what I mean? Like, you can't rely on 35-yard touchdown strikes to score all your points. Mm-hmm. You just can't. You have to be able to score when you get close.
Well, because when you play the Buffalo Bills, if you're up 4 points against them in the second half and you have an opportunity at the 1 yard line that you can't cash in, a guy like Josh Allen can make you pay. And that can immediately become a 3-point lead for them in the fourth quarter that you did not want to be trailing in. Like, you need to be able to punch those in one way or another. And I don't know, you have a. Look, mm-hmm. I'm not in favor of running Drake May all the time. I think it is important that he stays healthy. But when you're on the 1 yard line, you have a 6'5" freak athlete at quarterback. I don't know. Utilize that, please. You don't have to QB sneak. You don't have to tush push. There's other ways to do it. But, like, I don't know. The casual draw play on fourth and goal from the one ain't it. Sorry.
So Josh McDaniels is the problem.
There he was. I would agree. Like, usually Shime is just blaming Josh McDaniels for everything because he doesn't want Drake May to be criticized for anything.
Yeah.
But that red zone sequence was a really bad one.
So, if it's 5-1, then you have to give it a little bit to the offensive coordinator, I think.
Like, Drake even saw.
I think it was
second down or third down. They were ready to run the ball. The defensive line shifted in. Drake immediately called timeout. He's like, yeah, this is the wrong play. We shouldn't be in this play. Calls timeout, and they come back out and run it anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't run the play the first time, so how do you know they ran the exact same play?
Well, they wanted to run the football, and that's why he called the timeout, because he saw the defensive line shift.
We don't know where and how and what it's going to look like. Yeah, look, that fourth and one where he got hit in the backfield, Will Campbell got jacked up on that play, driven back, and Morgan Moses on the right side missed his tackle. And the outside, and then they blitzed on the outside, which
on the penalty? The one with the penalty?
No, the last one where the turnover on downs.
The last
and
one. The very last one.
But Ted, okay. You know that this offensive line hasn't been great in short yardage situations, correct?
You know they tried to pass a couple times, too. One, they tripped. Yep. One, it was a Mac Collins penalty. And then another one was Kayshon Boutte got held, and so they got another set of downs. So it wasn't. They did play action. They tried to do boots, but the plays weren't executed right, or there were penalties on the play that negated that. So.
Then why not run it? Why not run him again? If the Kayshon Boutte one was successful, why not run another pass play? Like, why are we running a draw on fourth and one from the goal line? Like, from the goal line, it doesn't make sense. It just, especially, and my big issue is it's not like there has been evidence for this team in the past this season that indicates in short yardage situation the running back is going to get you a yard and that offensive line. And so if I know my offensive line isn't good enough to pick it up, I'm probably not calling a draw on fourth and one from the 1 yard line.
I also think part of it is of the 6 interceptions, didn't he have 2 that were in the red zone?
Yes. Two that I can think of.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay one and the Steelers one.
The personnel, do we have the personnel? You look at what Matthew Stafford's doing. He's got like 6 touchdowns from the 1 yard line. He's got 13 touchdowns from the 5 yard line in because he's got Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams that can beat one on one like it's nothing.
But also, they can run it in from the one. Like Kyren Williams and Blake Corum have been awesome inside the 5 yard line. They've been one of the better efficiency running teams in football.
So,
my thing is,
so you want the Patriots just to pass it every single time?
No. I think you can run creative run plays. Like, why? Where is the read option? Right with Drake May again, athlete. Why is there no read option? Because then he can read the defensive end, and he can make the decision on.
They're terrified
do I keep
to get
it?
Him hurt, man.
I know, but it's the one yard line. You need 7. Like, you, especially against a team
I'll
like
call
Buffalo.
Them out if they do, they don't run those plays in the playoffs when it really matters.
That's
I just don't think they want to put that on film, and I don't think they want to. You see, they see what is happening to Jackson Dart. There's all these quarterbacks that are getting hit with concussions.
Yeah, but Drake May doesn't torpedo himself into players like Jackson.
Jackson Dart does play like a dum dum.
Jackson Dart plays like the biggest dum dum.
I love him. There's the touchdown. It's end zone right there. All I got to do is dive for that little 2 yards. So they submarine themselves in those situations. I think it's more risky to run him in that area, 1, 2, 3 yard line, than anywhere else on the field. I do.
Especially with a backup all line, which is what you got today as well. We'll get into more of that in a little bit here. We got a lot to get to as well, including They Said It, which is coming up at 11 o'clock. We have Tommy Kern at 11:30, Wiggy's Keys a quarter of. But coming up next, Mego goes inside the locker room with
Garrett Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury, who is not injured. He will be playing tomorrow night, we hope. He will be in with Mego right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. Dude, embarrassing.
Watch some Tom Brady sneaks. Mm. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Learn how to do it from the best. Come on, man.
Especially when they got the penalty and they got a fresh set of downs. And I was like, all right, well, they got four more chances to get it in here. And then there was a penalty right away
pushing
Mag Hollins with that crazy pick. And it's just like, come on, man.
But then they get right back down to the one the next play. And
right
they still
there.
Were you guys surprised that that second set of downs they got and they fourth down at their eighth attempt that they still went for it and didn't kick a field goal?
Yeah, I was screaming, just kick the stupid
shouldn't
thing.
You just get your points at that? That point?
Yeah, because you make it a full seven instead of four, like 100%. You make them go score a touchdown.
I didn't understand that decision. It worked out fine, but at that moment, it just didn't make sense, man. It was like an omen. Like, dude, you're not going to get in.
So,
kick the field goal.
Question for you. I think this is a whole kind of NFL broad topic, but like, has the NFL just become too Dan Campbellized where they're just everybody wants to be aggressive? It's like, it feels like you're just doing it, and I know that the nerds will tell you the numbers say go for it a lot of times, but there's sometimes
I love how you're calling others the nerds.
No, because I hate, a lot of times I'm like, just kick the field goal.
Analytic guy?
Oh, yeah, I'm a DVOA hole.
I am 100%. Too, man. I'm with you. I'm kind of a nerd myself.
I love the analytics, but like in this situation, I'm just like, I don't know, just take the points. I'm a big fan of, I know it sounds dumb, and Greg Olson even calls people like me stupid, but I don't know, I'm a big fan of sometimes just taking the points.
Yes, I agree with you, and like if you have the ability to get points,
yeah.
Yes, it's. But what I do like is when it's either, we either punt or go for it. I like when teams go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it makes the game more exciting. It really does. I just love that it's not just a foregone conclusion that everyone's going to punt, at midfield at
Agreed.
Fourth and one.
I think those are very different. But when you're at the goal line and you already have a lead, just take the points.
I agree.
Especially when you're not facing Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or one of those guys.
Certainly. All right. As we said before, Mego is inside the locker room with some people up front there that could have maybe used that advice, including our subject today. Mego, who do we have?
We have Garrett Bradbury, and I feel like I say this every week, but Garrett Bradbury is truly my favorite person to talk to in the locker room.
You're like Bradford. Bradford's like, I don't want to be talking to anybody in the world except for you, whoever it is.
I love Garrett Bradbury. He did let me know that some of the players got together and did a potluck Thanksgiving dinner together this week.
Nice.
And so we got into a little bit of holiday talk in addition to checking in on this football team.
All right, let's go inside the locker room with Mego and Garrett Bradbury.
Inside the locker room with Megan Ottolini.
How difficult is it for you guys preparing for a defense when there are so many unknowns between both personnel available for them on the Giants, as we know right now on Wednesday, as well as having a different coordinator play caller?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of every week in the NFL that guys are going to get banged up. In terms of the play caller, I mean, there's going to be some carryovers. They're not gonna all of a sudden put in a whole new defense. But being in the NFL, you got to be able to adjust. And so if we do see something that we haven't seen from them all year, then that's where you rely on the experience and the games you've had. And we've seen quite a few looks to this year at this point. And so it's just being able to adjust on the fly. And our coaches do a good job of that. And yeah, it's just kind of see what they're doing and make those adjustments.
You've obviously been in the league for several years now, but what is it like when you have your schedule change a little bit, whether it's Monday night and a holiday in the middle of it, coming off of a 10-day break from game action, and it starts to get like, oh, you're in a different rhythm, at least during the week?
Yeah, I kind of like the changes. We had probably 10 straight weeks where we were on Sunday for 9 or 10 straight weeks. Coach Vrabel made a good point today. He's like, everyone talks about eliminate distractions, but I don't think you can possibly do that. He doesn't either. Like Thanksgiving, there's gonna be people in town, and it's a good time to give thanks and spend some time with family. And I kind of like those changes in the season. It kind of breaks up the monotony of it. Thursday games, it's a fun different challenge, and you get the weekend off. And Mondays, you get a little bit longer of a week. And obviously, we got bye week next week, so it's just you're used to it. Not every game is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And so we welcome the changes.
It's funny we talk about distractions, but at the same time, is there anything when you get to take a day and spend it with family, with friends, with your teammates, and have that, I guess, give you a little extra boost when you think about game day?
Yeah, it's huge. It's Thanksgiving is an awesome holiday. I think it's awesome, one, because of the food, two, because Christmas is on the horizon. So the holidays are fun, especially in an NFL locker room. Most people are kind of taking this whole week off, and we're all in here together, and there's something cool about that, too. For sure, I think Coach Vrabel did a good job, took a little time to just emphasize, like, we do need to give thanks. There's a lot to be thankful for. It's a good group of guys in the locker room. It's a good coaching staff. We're having a lot of fun right now, and you're obviously never satisfied. But at the same time, like, it's fun to take a moment and be like, this is pretty cool.
Now I have to ask, are you a Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving person?
My wife looked up a place to buy a Christmas tree like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, this is too early. The tree will probably die by then, by Christmas.
It's a real tree.
So that's what she said last night. She said, we get to go get a Christmas tree this week. So she's all in on it. I support her. Now, I think fake trees would be a little bit easier. I've told her that, but I don't think we'll ever have a fake tree in our house. Definitely looking forward to all that.
The hard thing is once you pivot to a fake tree, it becomes so easy that you never go back to the real tree, and it's kind of, you get stuck.
I think she knows that. So we'll be real trees until she says differently.
Of course, had to ask about the changing offensive line, at least for a couple weeks going forward. What have you seen from these guys, Ben, Vidarian, Marcus, as you've gone back to camp, really, in terms of them being ready for the challenge of jumping in there to play a different role on this team?
Yeah, I think Coach has done a good job, first of all, getting guys reps, whether it was in training camp or in the season. Guys were kind of shuffled around all year. And so it's nothing new to those guys. I think in the second time, Coach also emphasizes prepare to be a starter. So I think we've got some good guys in our room that work hard, and whether they're not physically out there, mentally, they're preparing each week, like they're ready to be in there. And their number's called right now. Like, everyone knows you could be a play away from playing all 70 snaps. So we have all the trust in the world in these guys, and they've worked really hard, and it's the NFL, it's next man up mentality, and looking forward to playing with them.
There you go. That was Mego inside the locker room with the Patriots starting center, Garrett Bradbury, who was acquired this offseason. Another one of the big hits for Mike Vrabel, I would say. Certainly on that offensive line, along with Morgan Moses. And those two guys are going to have a lot on their plate, along with Mike Onwenu here, as they're going to have to adjust. And that is something that's going to be Josh McDaniels' challenge, their offensive line coach now, whose name escapes
Doug Marone.
Doug Marone, thank you. I kept wanting to say Marv Levy. I knew that was wrong. Doug Marone. And, the rest of the guys they're working on that offense here having to adjust now for the first time really to some serious injuries.
Josh McDaniels, Doug Marone, they're responsible for getting this offensive line in shape, considering the two guys that started most of the games are out. You combine their coaching careers in the NFL. That's 56 years of NFL experience. I think they'll get it done, Scheim. I think the two of them will have something figured out. And coaching in any sport is the most important. So in football, and so I think they'll be coached well. This offensive line, and they won't be as bad as what a lot of people think they might.
Yeah, I've been impressed with what Marone has done with this offensive line this year, especially with two rookies on the left side. So I have a decent amount of confidence in what he can do with this offensive line. So I'm hoping for the best.
Very good. That's the voice of Chris Scheim. When we come back here at 11 o'clock, we'll have They Said It Football Sunday Edition with Chris Scheim. Don't go anywhere. It's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.